71 degrees and kind of an ugly day on the outside. It is 4:08 and time for hour number two of the Jeremy Lawrence Show here on 590 WKZO. Glad that you've continued on with us. Coming up sometime this hour, I promise you sometime this hour, because we've got four tickets to see Edge of Tomorrow. That is a brand new movie out this Friday. And from what I understand, they're going to have it at the IMAX at the Celebration Cinema in Portage. So, you know what? Four tickets for you to go to see it on the huge screen. And we're talking a lot of sci-fi action, too. So, you know, if you're into that, yeah, that'll be good.
You'll love it.
So that's coming up. We're going to be giving those away. Chances are Michael will be doing some sort of a dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question. I don't know. Fortunately, they've been easy lately. If he starts asking tough questions, we're going to have to do something about it. That's just all there is to it.
You'll have to change the policy up, right?
Yeah, something anyway. But in the meantime, we wanted to chat a little bit about, and we spent last hour talking about the POW coming home and that kind of thing. Now, and this was announced this morning when the president said that he wants the EPA to go out and they actually unveiled a sweeping proposal that would require deep cuts in carbon emissions from existing power plants. And you heard about it just a few minutes ago on the news. And, you know, they talked about, they're saying basically it's a national reduction. And it's different regions, different states have different targets. But the national average from 2005 levels, by 2020, they want to see a 25% reduction in what we were emitting just a few years ago. Now, 2020, you're saying, well, that's a ways off. No, it's not that far off. It really isn't. You know, you're talking about, what, 6 years?
6 years, yep.
6 years, 25% down. 30% down by 2030. That's what the plan is. And they're saying that there's been an awful lot of people looking at this going, well, this is going to hit coal plants pretty hard and coal-fired and that kind of thing. But they're saying basically we want to make these cuts in carbon emissions to be able to take care of greenhouse gases and improve the environment and blah, 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 blah. I mean, you get the drill. You understand that. You know where that's coming from. But this is what's come out because of this. And with this, I mean, there have been some environmental groups, obviously, they're signing on, oh, this is going to be good, this will be great, you know, reducing emissions and that kind of thing. There was even one, and you heard about that in the news just a little bit ago, saying, well, it's going to actually mean lower costs for power. Oh, really? Lower costs for power. I'm curious, and when I heard that, I immediately started looking around. All right, what are they looking at? What kind of study are we talking about here that would say, guess what? Government regulations, meaning more money spent to be able to reduce emissions and things like that, will mean lower costs for power. Huh?
Kind of seems like backward logic, because as you spend more, usually prices then go up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and even the president himself, when he was a candidate for the office, talked about cap and trade and said, well, you know what? Yeah, power prices are going to go up. So he knows better. And yet there are people say, well, you know, reduction in your costs. Well, no. If a company is going to spend more money, either they're going to look for alternatives that are cheaper. Good luck finding them. Or they're going to increase your rates on your electric bill. And you'll see it. You will see it. If those rates go up, it's not, we'll eat it. We'll eat it. You know, it's just our profits. No big deal. No.
Nope.
That's not the way business works. And to think otherwise, you know, I guess the thing that I have a problem with, I don't have a problem with saying, well, let's reduce emissions. That's fine. We want to reduce emissions? Sure. Okay, let's look for a way to do it. But the other thing that you will hear from, you know, from the president on this and from his administration and the EPA, well, people will be looking at renewable energy, more green energy, and that kind of thing. Won't that be good? Well, that's wonderful if it was actually something you could count on. But look outside today and tell me you can count on the sun being there.
Yeah, on a day like today, solar power isn't going to work very well. Now, if you had wind power, it'd work well because it's been gusty out there, but that's a different story.
Sure, and you know, it depends on where that would be. And wind power is another thing. Sometimes you can count on it. Sometimes you can't. You know, so you know that, you know, there's got to be certain places where you can do that sort of thing. I don't have a problem with wind power. If you can find a spot where it's consistently windy, knock yourself out. That's great. Because guess what? That's going to generate some power. I understand that. But I think the other thing is that, you know, they talk about, well, you know, go to cleaner energy like, you know, solar and wind. And there are some people saying, well, what about nuclear? But then you've got the, oh, no, nuclear. No. So suddenly we can't do that either. So I guess the question ultimately is, are we willing to pay a ton more for our power, or are we willing to go without? And you know what? With that smartphone in your hand, I already know the answer.
No, we're not willing to go without power.
Yeah, you know, are you willing to do this? And the other part of it is that if we're digging into this, we're really saying, all right, more regulations, more this, more this, more that, we've got to look at the other side of it and say, what is this going to do? And we've talked about increased rates on your power bill. What's that going to do for the working poor? What's that going to do for the middle class? Those people with a budget that things are pretty tight. And let's face it, the economy's not doing well right now, so things are pretty tight. Could you afford more money on your power bill? Could you afford to do that? I don't know. Maybe you can. I don't know. And if you can, more power to you. But if we start raising rates on our power, that can't be a good thing for all of the people that we're trying to look out for. That's the thing that I wonder about with this. You know, okay, this is good. Let's have something cleaner. That's fine. We can look at cleaner. But let's look at how is this going to impact us? Do we have a way to substitute something else here? And you can't tell me that solar is as reliable as some of these other sources, because it isn't. All right, natural gas is there, but if there's more demand for natural gas because, well, there's less demand for coal and less demand for this and that and the other, okay, guess what? Prices are going to go up because there's more demand for this thing and less for the other thing. And that's what happens when you do that. And what happens in the end when those prices go up? Companies don't eat those costs. They don't generally do that. They pass the cost on to the consumer. Mm-hmm. And you understand that. You understand that. I don't necessarily blame them. But if you're going to start looking at regulations on this, of this particular magnitude, you've got to figure out what's it going to do for everybody else. What's it going to do when we dig into this stuff? Now, I want to get your opinion on this as well. 382-4280-877-382-4280. And you can also text us, 80373, and share with us your insights on this as well. We would love to hear from you one way or another, so feel free to get in touch with us. Let's head to the phones right now, where we're going to talk with Gary in Kalamazoo. Hi, Gary. How's your Monday?
A little rainy and wet right now, but not too bad overall.
I hear you.
But, yeah, so this whole thing, I have two comments to make on it. So we're talking about a 30% reduction. So let's just assume they're going to cut power production by 30% because that's the easiest way to reduce emissions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have 30% less electricity now. We don't have, and I know you've already made this point, the technology to make up that 30% like tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You understand, like, I don't think most people understand how long it takes to actually get the licensing to the power plant. So say you're going to replace it with nuclear, which everyone, of course, like you said, is going to freak out.
Mm-hmm.
It takes, what, 20 years to actually get all the permitting and everything else done to build a nuclear power plant?
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't built one of those since the 70s. There's no way that's ever going to happen. So, okay, so fine. We just get a 30% reduction in power, which means we'll just have rolling brownouts everywhere because, you know, there won't be enough electricity to go around.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is, these are the same guys that said, well, your rates are going to go down. I've been putting in those stupid curly cube LED, LCD compact fluorescent light bulbs forever. I don't see my energy bills going down, and I've been using those now for years because we're forced to use them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, these are going to be good because your reduction, you know, you use less energy. I don't see that happening anytime soon, and I have them in all those stupid light bulbs all throughout my house. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's just amazing that they sit there and they say, well, you know, if you like your electricity, you can keep it too. Is that like my health insurance?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my two comments. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for your call. Appreciate that. 382-4280 is the phone number. We'd love to have your insights on this. Also, 877-382-4280. And we do want to bring to your attention something that we have just received here at the station. There is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect. This is for Southern Kalamazoo County. That is until 4:45. Basically saying that this was a severe thunderstorm located near Howardsville. It's moving northeast at 45 miles per hour. Impacted areas will include Schoolcraft, Galesburg, Fulton, Portage, Climax, Vicksburg, Augusta, Hallensburg, Comstock, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it is going to create an impact there, basically saying that there's going to be some wind gusts, damage to various things and things like that. We are going to keep an eye on some things and keep you in the know about what's going on that. So a severe thunderstorm warning in effect. We wanted to definitely let you know about that as well. All right, we have a timeout. Michael, go ahead.
Yes, with all the rain that's been happening, we just got a traffic report and some flooding going on. This is at Oakland Drive and Kilgore Road. Both lanes have a lot of standing water in it, so people should avoid that area because you don't want to drive your car through flooded areas. Your car could tend to get stuck in there.
So you want to watch that in that area, just to try and find an alternate route. If you do happen to get into the middle of it, the best thing I can tell you is, well, first of all, don't. But second of all, if you are in that area, take it as slow as possible and, you know, try and think about everybody else there. And if you look and you see your car can't get through it, just stop. Get out of there. Do mm-hmm. your best to get out of there. That's the best way to look at it. Well, we are going to continue to take a look at some of these things. And we are going to take your calls as we continue our conversation with you. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, 803-73 via text. As we continue ahead, it's the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Degrees in Kalamazoo. This portion of the program brought to you by Weatherstone Village. Check out their local award-winning 55 and over community at their open house every Saturday from 10 until 2. And glad you could be a part of the program today. Jeremy Lawrence Show. We were talking about some of the power regulations and that kind of thing. We are going to continue that discussion, but right now we are noticing some interesting, I'm not sure what that was.
I don't want to guess.
I don't know, but weird things are happening here. But we do want to let you know that there is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect. That means there's one in the area, so be aware of that. They're saying it's for the southern part of the county, and that includes areas like Schoolcraft, Galesburg, Fulton, Portage, Climax, Vicksburg, etc. in that area. Basically, it's meant some problems for people driving, some problems with wind and things like that. Michael, we had someone call in and have some issues that they told us about.
Yes, we had a listener call in and say he was traveling down southbound 131, traveling from Plainwell, going through Schoolcraft down to Three Rivers, saying that there was a lot of gusty winds out there, a lot of heavy rain, and he could barely see driving down the road.
So,
everybody should just be careful, and while you're out there driving, and if you have to, pull over on the side of the road until the rain just lets up.
Now, that is, and please, I'll say this, but I want to preface my saying it by saying this. If you're seeing any impact, you're seeing anything like that, if you're driving, pull over, and then give us a call. Mm-hmm. Don't give us a call while you're trying to negotiate this thing. That's just, I don't want to see that. Let's not do that. But pull over. Let us know what you're dealing with so that we've got an idea of what's going on with this thing. Looks like it's going to pass relatively quickly. I'm watching it on radar right now. Looks like it's going to be moving pretty quickly. They said 45 miles per hour through the area. So with that, it will be moving pretty quickly. 4:45 is when this warning is over with. Usually those warnings, it's the first part of the warning you really want to be concerned about. Obviously, you want to be concerned about the whole thing, but it's usually that first part of the warning where that storm is. So we're keeping an eye on this one and keeping an eye on things for you. Of course, we've heard about some flooding in some intersections. We have heard about some issues with that. So we want you to definitely be in the know that that this is happening, so that you can be aware of it and take appropriate action. Certainly pulling off the road, a good idea. And we've heard that one report from 131. Sounds like that was pretty bad situation. You know, I've been driving in this sort of thing. It's always kind of interesting when you get into a situation like that, when you're driving through it. And I got to tell you, I mean, the best thing you can do is just pull over and stop. Pull over and get out of the lane, obviously. You don't want to be in the middle of things. Pull over and stop. Put those hazards on. Try and wait it out as best you can so that, we know that you're going to be safe. And we know that, that's something that you won't have a problem with. Again, if you are just joining us, a severe thunderstorm warning. And that is going until 4:45. The storm moving northeast to 45 miles per hour. There's apparently 60 mile per hour wind gusts involved in this. The radar is showing it is moving pretty fast, so it's going to be out of the area relatively quickly. But there are going to be issues with this as well, so definitely be safe. Now, the one thing that we were talking about earlier, and I wanted to dig into this a little bit further. The EPA doing some carbon emission cuts, what they'd like to see. They're saying that they want to, and you know, it's different levels for different areas, but they're saying that they want to reduce on the national average from the 2005 levels of emissions of carbon dioxide 25% by 2020. We're talking 6 years from now. 30% by 2030. And that's been the thing that's troubling when you look at this, because it's this idea, well, we want to do what's right for the environment and that kind of thing. But we already know, just from watching and paying attention to things, our economy in the last quarter contracted. There are questions now as to whether we're in the middle of another recession. We don't know yet. So if you're in the midst of that, is it a good idea to start talking about new things that's going to mean increased costs on this, that, and the other? That's the question you have about this. And we are going to continue to discuss that as well. Is there any other information we have at this point, Michael, in terms of the storm? I know we have talked a little bit about that. Is anyone else dealing with any issues?
Yes, I got a couple of callers from listeners. 131 southbound and northbound in Schoolcraft, there's 3 to 4 inches of standing water from the railroad to the downtown section. Sprinkle Road near Millam has a lot of standing water. A listener said he ended up hydroplaning basically through that area. And then there's one traffic accident as well. There's a semi in the ditch on westbound I-94 at the Lawrence exit. Traffic is backed up between mile markers 52 and 55.
Okay. Now, I know you just said all of that, but you know, somebody might have just tuned in the middle of all that. So let's repeat it one more time, because there's some issues that have to do with this storm that we're facing. And if you're driving in it, you're going to need to know this stuff. So hit us with that one more time.
Okay, the first two have to do with the weather. 131 southbound and northbound, there's 3 to 4 inches of standing water in the town of Schoolcraft from the railroad to the downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
In Portage on Sprinkle Road near Millam, there's a lot of standing water. That's near the airport.
Okay.
Listener said that he was hydroplaning through that area. And then there's one traffic accident on westbound I-94. There's a semi in the ditch at the Lawrence exit, and traffic is backed up between mile markers 52 and 55.
Okay, so that's what's going on out there. Severe thunderstorm warning in effect for another 15 minutes or so. We'll keep you in the know as we find things out. We will continue our discussion about EPA regulations and all of that as we continue ahead. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. 70 degrees in Kalamazoo. Not necessarily raining out there right now. Looking a little angry to the east. Not so bad to the west. Looks like the worst of the severe thunderstorm. Of course, we're under a severe thunderstorm warning here for a few more minutes. But it apparently has largely passed. Just one note, of course, this portion of the program brought to you by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. Now, before we continue on with the program, Michael, you have another traffic update to bring to us.
Yes, I got a call from a listener while we were on break. There's a traffic light malfunction at the East Michigan and Sprinkle Road. The light is flashing red, so everybody should be cautious while traveling through that area, or if you can, avoid that area completely.
Okay. All right. So what was that intersection again? Just
East Michigan and Sprinkle Road.
Okay. All right. So now we've got that one figured out. Just to try to avoid that as much as possible. Now, one of the things that, you know, and you could go through these EPA regulations. They've talked about, you know, lowering the output of carbon dioxide. Now, on the national level of around 25%. The interesting thing about it is the EPA is saying, do it. And they're saying to the states, you figure out how. Even better when you got the government coming along and saying, you got to do this, but you worry about the details. You figure it out. And if you don't have a plan for it, well, then we'll come up with a plan for it, and that won't be good for anybody. You know, I guess I just wish in these particular cases that before they come along and say, all right, here's these new regulations, here's these new things we want to lay out, we figure out what kind of an impact is that going to have on power markets. What's it going to have in terms of the cost of an average electric bill? What's it going to cost your average family? What's it going to cost the working poor? What's it going to cost the middle class? There is not a thought to that. And if you put more regulations on things, that means there's more costs for the companies involved. And if there's more costs for the companies involved, they're not going to just swallow it. So guess what? Your rates are going up. That's kind of like what they're saying with this. Well, you know, rates are going to go up, but carbon emissions will be lower. We'll be saving the planet. Now, you know, we can have a debate all day long about climate change / global warming / global cooling, whatever it is. And I don't know that we'd get anywhere on that. I think this, it's not a horrible thing to look to something and say, you know what? We really need to set a goal and say, all right, we'll lower emissions by so much. But to look ahead and say, in 6 years, we got to have this cut by 25%. That is a big, 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 big deal. A lot of these power companies have already figured out what they're doing with their money, not only this year, but next year. And they figured out, all right, well, we're going to have to raise rates because of this and because of that. Well, you start working this in, and they're figuring out, uh-oh, we got to do something about this. Uh-oh turns into that cash register sound when you open up your electric bill. And nobody wants that. And the other part of it is, all right, if we're going to start cutting down on certain kinds of power, because it's like 30 to 40% comes from coal, and that's where a lot of the emissions come from. So if you're going to cut something there, you're going to have to increase it somewhere else, or you're going to have to just say, too bad, so sad, there's no power, let's shut you down for a little while, boom. And then we're back to pioneer days, you know. And who wants that, too?
I don't.
Let me see. Show of hands with cell phones in them. Who wants that? Uh-huh. It gets pretty quiet, definitely. And that's the big issue with this, is there's no thought to the idea. Now, there are others that would say, well, wait a minute, this is EPA regulations. And here's another thing. The president is getting the EPA to do this stuff because Congress didn't act on what he wanted. So we can't wait for Congress. We've got to do something. I'm going, and here we go again with more executive actions and that kind of thing. I don't have a problem with an executive action if you're wanting to honor the work of somebody or something like that, or carry out practically the things that have been passed. But this is a thing where we're talking about brand new regulations, brand new this, brand new that, and now you want to just kind of, oh, well, we'll just throw these things out here and forget Congress. We don't need Congress. Here we go again. And I would much rather see the president say, all right, can we set a standard? Can we set a high mark? If he wants to lead on the issue, that's fine. Then actually lead on the issue instead of this cowardly way out by going, okay, well, yeah, executive order. Because executive order, I mean, where's the muscle behind that? Where is the bit behind that that could say, all right, here's the results of that? He's basically just saying, I can't do it with Congress, so I'm going to do it myself. He doesn't necessarily have that power. Executive orders aren't even really in the Constitution. And I know the defense will be, well, Bush did that. We're not talking about Bush. We're talking about what's happened with this. We're talking about what impact that's going to have. And it's a very serious impact. Because we're not talking, yeah, I mean, you know, lowering emissions, that's all fine and good. But they've already said it's not going to significantly affect any sort of, quote, climate change, global warming, whatever it is. Their studies say they're not even going to be able to do that by reducing all of this. And it's going to increase costs. So why are we doing it? That's the question. Why are we doing it indeed? Now, if you want to be a part of the discussion, feel free to be a part of it by getting with us at 382-4280, 877-382-4280, and 803-73 if you would like to text us and be a part of the discussion that we're having today. Because I think, you know, when they talk about this, you talk about reducing emissions. I think there are ways to be able to do this. I think one of the things is, all right, if you're the government, instead of saying, well, it's got to be this, find ways to incentivize it. Find ways to say to these companies, you know what? If you're able to cut your emissions, then we're going to give you a tax break. We're going to give you a little bit of a break on things. You're going to be able to do this. You're going to be able to do that. So they know, all right, there's going to be something there that incentivizes that instead of you're going to do it or else. You're going to do it or else is not exactly a good incentive. And at the end of it all, you're going to end up with us, you and I, paying higher prices. And I think that's the bottom line with the whole thing. Love to get your thoughts, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Head to the phones right now, and we will chat with Susan, standing by in Grand Rapids. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Jeremy. I agree with everything you've said so far about this new EPA emission control edict that came out of the president's office. I think if you really look at the facts, he's doing it because we have an election coming up in 2014, and he's trying to appeal to his far left base because they really have been hammering him that he hasn't done anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know because, you know, if you look at this president, he doesn't directly have to face the electorate. And if he faces the electorate and passes things like this and suddenly we're seeing high electric bills, we know what it traces back to. That doesn't work for his party either. I get what you're saying. I just don't know that it necessarily is the reasoning behind it, other than he's just trying to have some sort of a legacy or something that lives on after him.
I think that could be part of it, too. I also think a good part of it is the fact that this is a president who came from being a community organizer who never worked in a corporation where there were electric bills that affected the impact of the cost of production or the price of a product that they were producing.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the experience in the business world to really understand the huge trickle-down impact that this is going to have across America and with our export-import arena. And I think the other interesting thing, if you really think about it, out of one side of his mouth, he talks about poor and helping the poor and how there is such a divide between the rich and the poor. And yet, here you have something that is going to have a tremendous impact on people who have a pretty strict budget that can't handle a giant increase in either the cost of their electric bill or the cost of products that they might want to buy. So he talks a great talk. He loves giving speeches, but I think that he really doesn't have a good handle on the real world that you and I and a lot of businesses have to survive in.
Yeah, Susan, and thanks for your call. I appreciate that. You know, I think you are on point about this. And here's the thing. I don't think any of us are saying that, you know, we don't want to reduce levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. That's fine if you want to do that. But let's look at what the cost is before we dig into it. And I think that's the other part of it as well. Back to the phones here. Let's chat with John in Kalamazoo. Hi, John.
Hello. I guess in terms of cost, what I would ask you to look at is to life cycle cost. If you do the improvements now on both carbon emissions and CO2 emissions, it is far more cost effective to do it now than later. And the cost of burning coal, if you life cycle the cost all the way down through the health costs and that, burning coal costs us one heck of a lot of money. Regardless of, and I guess I fall on the line of, okay, it costs me pennies more now, or it's going to cost my kids thousands of dollars later.
Okay, so you're putting it in terms of it's going to cost future generations money because of what? Added pollution? What's the reasoning here? I'm trying to follow.
Let's take a simple one that already the East Coast is having to face already, and that's rising water levels.
Where?
The ice cap. In New Jersey, after Sandy came through, and they're now starting to float, Governor Christie is floating different from seawalls to putting in extending beaches to how can we lower the surge of storms coming in because of, you know, water levels rising.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, Sandy was a pretty special thing. I mean, that's one of those once in a lifetime hurricanes that comes in, meets up with a winter storm, and all hell breaks loose. I don't know that you can necessarily point and say, well, that was carbon emissions.
I won't say it was directly carbon emissions, but carbon emissions, let me put it this way. The environment is getting warmer worldwide. Ice is melting, both the Greenland ice cap and also Antarctica. Right now there's an iceberg against the size of the state of Connecticut that is broken away from the ice, Ross ice shelf, and is now in the water. Water's getting higher.
Well, I guess, you know, you talk about warmings taking place, but we've not actually tracked warming for like the last 17 years. It's been fairly stable. So I guess I'm still trying to follow that. I'm not seeing it happening at this particular point.
I guess I would beg to disagree with you, Jeremy, that worldwide temperature, if we look at the temperatures globally, temperatures certainly have not been stable for the last 17 years.
Well, the last 17 years, they've not warmed. That's the thing. There's not been global warming for the last 17 years. That data's out there.
I would disagree. Sure what data you're referring to, but I can show you data that has shown we have had consecutive years, warm years in a row. The worldwide average temperature has been increasing every year for the past 6 years.
And like I said, I've seen data to indicate that for the last 17, there hasn't been. So, John, I do have to move on. Thanks for your call.
Sure.
I appreciate that. Let's get quickly with Roger in Kalamazoo. Hi, Roger.
Hey, Jeremy. You know, it's interesting how people that believe in this Kool-Aid that the administration's putting out there about climate change and global warming. And really what it comes down to is that the progressives have been using this as a weapon against the American people for quite a while, and now it's just gotten more and more so since Obama's in his last couple of years of in office. But mm-hmm. here's the thing that people need to be aware of, and I totally disagree with your last caller, because the data doesn't show what the left is putting out there. Actually, the data shows that it's a normal cyclical cycle of weather that we have gone through since this Earth was created. But mm-hmm. here's one of the things I want people to be aware of. NASA tracks what's taking place with the globe, with our Earth,
mm-hmm.
and what people should be looking at. If they want to see what climate change, what can affect climate change more so than what little carbon that we put in carbon dioxide
mm-hmm.
that we put in the atmosphere, what they really need to be looking at is look at the Earth's core shift. Every year, our magnetic north changes.
Mm-hmm.
NASA is tracking this, and I want people to go to their website and look at what they are going to see in the near future as the poles shift. Now, what happens is that our magnetic field breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
When the magnetic field breaks down, it allows more of the sun's radiation onto the Earth.
Sure.
Now, I'm not making this garbage up. This is something that people can go out there and look right now before they take the site down,
mm-hmm.
because this is a fact. And if they don't think that, that the sun and the Earth's magnetic field is going to have a drastic effect on what's taking place in our environment, they're crazy. Now, here's okay. the other thing.
All right, quickly.
We need to protect the environment, but we need to do it smartly, and we need to. And basically, the EPA has already said we're going to have negligible impact by taxing and hurting the American people compared to what's going on in the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's the bottom line. And, Roger, I appreciate your call. Thanks for that. I think that's the bottom line, really, is we've got to find ways to do it in a smart way. I mean, these are things that are worth doing, but we got to do it smartly so it doesn't impact us in a negative fashion. We've got more people that, you know, the working poor that suddenly can't afford their electric bills. That's the bottom line. I do want to give away those movie tickets, and we talked about that. Let's go ahead and do that right now. So it's Edge of Tomorrow, 4 tickets to see it in IMAX at the Celebration Crossroads in Portage, 382-4280 and 877-382-4280. And they've got to answer a trivia question from the esteemed Michael Loudon.
All right, here we go. Whose daytime talk show host's couch did Tom Cruise jump on back in 2005?
Okay, if you know that one, give us a call, and you'll be able to win those tickets for that. And as we continue, we'll find out the answer to that, like you don't know already, and who won. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Seventy-one degrees in Kalamazoo. Jeremy Lawrence here with you on the Jeremy Lawrence Show. We had an opportunity to give away some tickets to see Edge of Tomorrow on the IMAX screen. And, Michael, I'm assuming we have a winner for those tickets.
We do have a winner, absolutely. The winner is Forrest from Kalamazoo.
Okay, and the answer to the question was the couch that Tom Cruise jumped on. Who'd it belong to?
Belonged to Oprah Winfrey.
Of course, it belonged to Oprah. So that was the answer. We do have other tickets for this we're going to be giving away throughout the week, and some other great movies as well. There's one called The Fault in Our Stars.
Oh, I have not heard of that one.
That one, it's an interesting preview. I saw this just the other day. An interesting preview. One of those kind of a tearjerker. Your fiance would love it, I'm sure.
So. Oh, it sounds like it.
One of those movies. But so anyway, thanks for calling in. Of course, there will be some others as time goes on, and we're certainly glad to be able to do that with you. You know, bottom line on all of this, I think, just comes down to we've got to figure out the best way to find a middle ground on this. We can't just sit there and say, well, it's got to be these. Here's here's these regulations, make it happen, and, you know, it's got to happen. I don't think we can necessarily do that. We've got to find ways to meet in the middle on this. I don't have a problem with reducing emissions. That's fine. But I think we do it in a way that's smart, that serves our best interest economically, as well as in terms of pollution. It's just the right thing to do, really. It's my 2 cents worth. You know what? We run out of time. You can join us tomorrow for more of the same at 3 o'clock, 3 to 5. It's Jeremy Lawrence Show. Till then, see ya.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.